All right, good evening to those people that are online joining this event, this call. This is a simulcast with a conference call, and I welcome you all. It is still, we are early on the air. We are still waiting for Wynn and Terry to show up. They are currently in Denver, Colorado, on a big trade show. So they probably call in from the show on. But let's just wait and see. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dan from Wisconsin, thank you.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to the call. And somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don, Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Hi, Don. Hey,
Hi,
Don.
How's it going? Are those guys doing a call tonight?
We don't know yet, but yeah, well, it looks like...
It was a call, whether they'll be here or not.
At least we are here.
Uh-huh.
No, I think they will call in from the show on.
Uh-huh.
If they don't get the time zones screwed up.
Yes.
Oh.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
And somebody else after you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Denver.
Terry. Oh, hi, Terry. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
So are you calling in from the show, Terry?
No, we just flew into Denver today, and so we just secured a hotel room.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, the show is not until a couple of days, and like it's Friday, Saturday, right?
It starts Saturday,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you go early to get used to the altitude?
Oh, I didn't even think of the altitude,
Sedona's pretty high, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's 4,500 to 5,000.
Yeah, so it's like home to you guys.
Yeah, seems normal.
All right, I still want to welcome those people that joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to. Thank you for being here. So, Terry, you know about Wynn, his whereabouts?
Yeah, he went into Starbucks to send out an email. He was trying to get on the Internet.
All right.
The Internet over at the hotel, at the Motel 6, was kind of slow.
Okay.
So we came over here.
Go to Motel 7 next time.
Yeah.
Money is no object.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we are live on BBS Radio. I welcome all those people that are joining in online. And we have the phone line still open. Here's somebody else joining in. I welcome you, and please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
All right. So, Terry, do you have anything that you want to talk about as a sort of startup of the show?
You know,
may I mention something? Let me first, I will turn off the, actually, this is the last call I want to... stand up, please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, welcome to the call, brother. How are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for being here.
Dharmananda.
All right.
Well, I think that Wynn and I are going to have to share a phone because his phone needs to be charged. And we were getting ready for the show, and we were up all night and got in Mesa, Arizona about 5 or 6 in the morning and went to the Waffle House and had breakfast. And then I had a dentist appointment at 7:30 in the morning and with Dr. Margolis. He's an amazing dentist. And he was already working on one person, and then he took me, and then he had another lady that had driven in from Las Vegas. And so he was going to then work on her. And it was very interesting. She told me a very, very interesting story. She said that she had fought breast cancer for 10 years. And when she went to Dr. Margolis, they discovered that where she had the tumor was related to the meridian to one of the teeth that was infected, and the thermography showed heat going directly from the tooth down to the tumor.
Wow.
And so she was getting the infection removed by Dr. Margolis. And he doesn't believe in root canals. And one of the things in root canals on
the teeth.
Oh,
root canal, yes.
Yeah. Because the little tubuli in the tooth have no way to cleanse themselves, and the bacteria in there all get infected. And so it creates an infection in the mouth. And then that goes to other parts of the body through the meridian.
Wow.
I'm on a program, like my wisdom teeth had gotten infected.
Are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm on the call, Wynn.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So Wynn's back in the car, and we're outside of Starbucks in Denver. And the sun's still up. It's a very pretty sky with little fluffy clouds. Don't see any chemtrails or anything.
Terry, what I want to share with you is that it was such a huge comfort to hear you talk on the Sunday call in a, what shall I say, is it a semi-conscious state where you talked about the influence that our call has on the consensus reality?
Oh, yes.
Do you recall saying that?
Yeah, I recall saying that part. Now that you bring it up, like if you asked me what I talked about, I couldn't tell you. But when you brought it up, I remember saying about how the effect of our call, what it had on the consensus reality, it brought it up a tone, it brought it up a notch. And a huge amount, but it brought it up, and we need that. I was listening to a speech by Obama.
Who is that?
Yesterday, Obama, President Obama.
Okay, just kidding.
<Who's that>? Well, it wasn't very encouraging, his speech. And he was talking about the situation with Russia and the U.S. and the potential for using nukes. And I just hated to hear him say what he came out and said. Oh, I'm going to see if I can find it again when we get a computer running here and see if I can download it.
But what it for certainly needs is our attention, that we can send love light around the situation and hopefully have some influence in making this go away a positive way.
Yes. Yeah, I think we need to do that. We need to send love light around the whole United States and the situation, potential with Russia, because I don't think Russia wants a war. And
so as we are here right now, let us all just focus on this and then in our imagination send love light to the situation and see our entire world surrounded by love light. And like I use,
yeah,
and others use, an imaginary blanket of love light that's wrapping itself around the world and penetrating it with love light, and that humanity as a whole will be uplifted, and in particular those people in power, that they will recognize the love within their own hearts and make decisions based on that.
This conference isn't being recorded yet?
No, the call is not being recorded yet.
Okay.
Well, the call is always recorded on BBS Radio from the very start, as soon as they put us on. So people can go to BBS Radio, and I think you can get on without a password, and you can hear the recording there.
Yes, I believe so, too. They have changed that like a year ago or so, that you can just go there with no charge or anything.
Yes. You know, I was thinking, Heis, of, you know, when you said it today about wrapping the earth in love light and... you know, I'm from the heavenly realm, and there was one time in this life where I took a person who was very, very upset, a spirit. It was so upset. I took him to the heavenly realm, and there's a team up there that when somebody is just really distraught or upset, they wrap them in a cloud of love light, and they just hold them in that cloud so that he is experiencing love light even though he's upset until he gets time to destimulate and come around to his own self. So every time you mention that about wrapping the earth or the country in love light, I think of that cloud that they wrap around in the heavenly realm. They wrap around somebody that's upset so that he can just take their time and destimulate.
All right. And I want to give credit to ISIS. She, in the past, came up with that idea of a blanket around Mother Earth in our team shift call. So thanks to ISIS with giving us this great tool. I think it's a great tool to use to uplift situations. That's it. So.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to Wynn here.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Hey. Did Terry tell you about us?
Yes, he has.
So, is Terry Friedman on tonight? I didn't get a chance to call him.
No, I have not seen him come in.
Yeah, usually he calls me for the number and the code. But you know what I think is, we are not together tonight, okay? we were up all night. Terry went to the dentist. We got in, you know, in the afternoon. We drove an hour through town, and we checked into a motel, and then I said, after I checked in, they said our internet's not working very well today. So now we're in Starbucks, and my phone battery is dead, and my headset is not pairing, my Bluetooth headset. And so I didn't even look at the questions for tonight. And Gary said, I think I'm too tired to channel. So, Hi, so you're going to be here for the whole call?
Yes, I will.
Okay, so, Hi, you can do the call tonight.
All right.
Actually, I was thinking, you can do it. You can just talk to people and let whatever happens, happens. And
so you don't want me to ask questions? Just kidding.
Yeah, you can answer questions. Let's see. Does your wife like it? Does your wife like it yet? That's a good question. Can we look up some questions? I can't even look them up because my phone is...
No, disregard. I was just kidding.
You know what? We should go. You know what? We should do a replay.
Okay. Because we are not recording. We are, you know, on BBS, and BBS is taping this, but we are not recording it in-house, so to speak.
Okay. Well, we can start our recording. Let's start our recording officially. Can you do that?
All right, and then after that, you want to do a replay?
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything on my...
I do, yeah. I have something set up to go. Okay, it's like 40 minutes, so that way we're just going to go to sleep.
Okay, so you have a recording ready to start playing, which is about 40 minutes?
Right, so it's just about the right... It says 40 minutes. It's about the right time.
Okay, okay. So that's perfect. Then we're going to start it right now, Wynn.
It's from 2012, and so you can hear what we sounded like 2 years ago when we were 2 years dumber than we are now.
All right. So
we should do that. We should go back to 2009, play something from 2009, because, you know, actually, if you listen to these calls and pick them, you know, go to the Spirit Channel and pick them kind of over time, you will see how the energy is shifted. You know, some of you don't realize it because even like with yourself, you shifted. And you don't even realize you've shifted because it goes bit by bit by bit by bit. And you have to really work at remembering how you used to be, okay? Mm-hmm. Like how we used to be scared of dying and scared of this and scared of that. And some of you, of course, still are. If anyone's here, I didn't invite new people tonight because we don't have our tuxedos on. We have our jogging shorts. In fact, we have our pajamas. So, you know, it's just that the way this has evolved in a human way is kind of fascinating to pay attention. And you're all, we got it all there. It's transparent. You can go look at our archive site and just pick different sessions. And, I don't know if Terry told you. You tell everybody why we're in Denver?
Yeah. You said it on Sunday.
On Sunday.
For the New Age show, yeah?
Yeah, New Age show. And this, I mean, I was up for like a couple days because I'm, you know, integrating the pendant business with the books for the first time. This is a big deal. These are stores everywhere. And it's scary. You know, like for the longest time, the pendants were over here and the books were over there. But the pendants have been so successful that I can weave the books into them. And I made this little booklet called, what did I call that booklet? I worked on it for a couple of days. Three books, Planet Earth. I can't even remember. The books were all waiting for the you'll have to tune in on Sunday. Shut up. Okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to go start the recording. I'm going to go to sleep. Thank you, Hive.
Love to you, man, and Terry.
And we'll, you know, I'm starting to feel we leave, but we do not leave.
Okay, and we don't record this right now, okay?
Are we good? Because people will be looking for recording.
Okay, so, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Great. Okay, this is June 25th, 2013. Lynn and Terry in Denver.
2014.
What is it? 2014, thank you. And we were up all night flying in. We just checked in. My phone battery is dead, so we're doing a replay. So you can listen to hear what we sounded like on, let me see here. Let's see.
We have only 35 minutes left, officially.
Okay, let's see if I got a 25-minute one here. Well, this is September 19th, 2012, and you can say goodbye to BBS and let it continue running here. And I have no idea what we talked about, so I hope it's not embarrassing. Here we go. Hang on. So those of you that are listening to the replay, welcome. This is September 19th, 2012, and this is our question and answer call. And you know what? They missed our hello. I'm not going to do it again. In any case, you can see how tricky that is. So when you guys ask me questions, so many of you say, tell me this, and they want, you want specifics, and we're not going to get it.
Okay, that didn't work out. The console dropped out. When do you copy?
Yeah, the call dropped out?
Yes, your console dropped out. You lost connect.
You know what happened? Would you start that call?
Okay. Yes.
Because I think I turned up. You know how to do it? You know, the calls are on the first tab, and...
Yes, you said a 25-minute one, right?
That was actually 40.
Okay, yes. We might go over, hopefully, it's okay with BBS, because there's no show after us.
Okay, good. All right,
here we go.
So, those of you that are listening to the replay, welcome. This is September 19th, 2012, and this is our question and answer call. And you know what? They missed our hello. I'm not going to do it again. In any case, you can see how tricky that is. So when you guys ask me questions, so many of you say, tell me this, and you want specifics, and we're not going to get it. Do I see Daphne on the line? Hello, Daphne. Do I see you? Are you unmuted?
You see me.
Well, just... I'm saying hello. Say hello to everybody. Everybody misses you.
I miss everyone too. Hello.
Okay. Now I'm not going to ask you any questions tonight. You're just going to listen, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just here as part of the team.
All right. Well, it's so nice to hear your little angelic voice, and we'll
Definitely.
Go on.
I think I can speak for everyone. We love you very much. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, Heise. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Heise is such a mushball, isn't he?
it's that wonderful Dutch accent.
Right.
Beep, beep, beep,
all right,
beep.
I'm gonna mute you, okay? Since that way you can make all kinds of background noises, okay? Here we go. You are muted. And we're going to call in the light. Are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Now, when we call in the light, this is a invocation. It's a reaching for a higher level of truth using our group intentions. And it's moving to connect with this energy of oneness, this energy that David Wilcock calls the source field, that there are many names for, and we're all part of that energy. We usually feel separated. So when we bring in these messages, we want to not feel separated. We want to feel connected. We want to feel connected to our sources, and that's what creates the safety net where we can ask these questions in such a public way. And let me see here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, myself, Terry, Daphne, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive have access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. And we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Today is September 19th, 2012, planet Earth, and the merging of the two timelines, our timeline from the 10th dimension and Ra's timeline from the 5th and 7th dimension and the third density timeline. And we see that each of these densities move at a different time speed so that when an individual focuses from that particular timeline, the time moves differently so that the time in your third density to us in the tenth density is moving extremely slowly. There are many energies to keep in sync in the third density. And this is the reason for the slowness. It is as if one, instead of thinking in lightning speed and being able to affect an image and to be able to move the individual around, is more having a thought and then has to give all the material universe in the third density around them that is influential upon their space, has to get it all into sync. And that is one of the reasons that it is so difficult to be in the third density, because you have this difference in speed between you as a being who whose home is in the higher realms and your accoutrements, which we mean your body and your environment, the air around you, the social complex around you, but more even just the physical things around you that need to get in motion for something to be accomplished. Do you have questions?
No. This is from Adam Fletcher in, where is he? He is in, I believe, New Hampshire. Let me see. I think he's... Hello, everyone. This is Adam. I grew up in an extremely Christian Baptist family. It never completely set right with me, and I felt as if what I was taught wasn't the whole story. About 2.5 or 3 years ago, I came across the Book of Ra. I guess he means the Law of One, Carla Ruckert. And it completely changed my life and outlook on things. By the way, that book is available on the internet, all over the place for free. Just look up Law of One, Carla Ruckert, or Law of One. In the past year or so, I have been working hard on astral projection and being able to connect with my higher self. Subconsciously, it happens at a time, at times, and I'm able to feel the love light and feel that I'm in touch with my higher self. But I struggle consciously to be able to do this. I have noticed that because of my Baptist upbringing, I have constant fear in the back of my head that says all of this is wrong and I will go to hell for believing in this. At my core, I know that it is not true, that all of this makes more sense, and that all of this makes more sense than the Christian faith ever did to me. But it's a constant nagging. And so, could you offer insight as to what I can do to subside this fear? And one last thing, when I was the last caller to speak to you on Coast to Coast and told you that I'd come to believe everything that you had talked about and asked you what the next step was. And when we got off the phone, I thought my question had not been answered. But within a day, I realized that you had answered my question, that only I could decide what my next step was. And you suggested that I find fellowship of like-minded people. And your conference calls and website are just that. Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you for all that you're doing. And so the question is, he has this nagging fear because of his Christian background that he's guilty and that he might go to hell. How can he deal with that? Thank you.
Thank you. You need more information. You need more connection. We see in the Christian background we search for the word, the constituents that go to make up the makings that go to make up what the individual can use for guidance. And in the religion, there are many things that guide you and guide your family and guide society into something that has been proven workable. So one should not criticize or find fault with that. It is something that is occurring, is in use, and should be honored with the free will of the people involved. And to look at it and see what it consists of, what are the tenets of the belief, what are the mores, what are the recommended ways of behavior, and many of the recommended ways of behavior have proven very valuable for the survival over time of more than one generation. When you look outside of that for more connection, for more give and take with the universal principles, you can learn to fit the background in without making it wrong or without making what you are finding out wrong. You can simply review it all. And when you see something that eases your life and fits in ethically and connects you in a greater, more expansive way, and also includes the body of knowledge, is acknowledging its existence in how it has been useful without taking sides. You can begin to develop in a rounded out way, and you will develop your own sense of balance and your own look at how the history, the tenets, the beliefs have helped individuals to support them in their daily life and to give them entrance into community and to provide a group of people to ally with. And from that, without criticism, can then begin to expand out without feeling wrong. Is you go like a sure-footed person, barefoot, in the walking in on the ground and feeling the ground beneath your feet and getting your balance and feeling sure-footed, so that the things that you learned can expand you from the base that you have come from and can still honor the good points and the benefits that the religion has given to your family and your grandparents in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question from Ray in Henderson, Nevada, and I think I will make a stab at answering this. When I can answer it, it helps hold the energy a little easier for Terry. And when two people meet for the first time and there is a chemistry connection, is this the soul feeling this, or is it just biological first and then the soul makes the connection later? From all of my understanding, it's always different. Every meeting of anyone, there's no one-size-fits-all. When two people meet, there's automatic astrological connections. And that's, I would say astrological might be lower than soul. But, you know, is their Venus connect to their Mars? Is their, you know, what is their astrological thing? Because that makes something. And then there is their past life history. And if you meet someone that you had a past life history with, you can have an immediate vibrational connection, feel comfortable with them or uncomfortable, depending on what happened in the past. So all of those things are happening simultaneously, and it's going to be different for everybody. If somebody had a past life connection, they may not even have a... it may not hit them for after a while. I mean, there's somebody that's probably listening to the call right now that we had some email exchange, and they responded really, really strongly when they would hear my words, when they would listen. They really connected with this, apparently, like nothing they'd ever connected with in their life, and they were emailing me about it. And then in the course of our emails, they sent me their picture, and I made the connection that they looked exactly like someone that I had associated with in a previous lifetime. And I was sure that it was the case. There was other instances, but I didn't recognize that. In fact, they kind of recognized it intuitively because of the way they responded to me. So that's an example where I think the connection was far above astrology, and it was on a soul-level thing. But in many other cases, most other cases, people would meet at a lower level and develop their lower levels of connection, and the other stuff would come in. For example, I've known Terry for 35 years, and I'm as surprised as you are at what comes through her. So let me go through another question here.
We would like to comment further on the question on the table.
Okay.
We would like to see that also there are genetic similarities between some people, which would make it easier for one to connect with the other. And there are the way in which the culture in which the person has been raised, so that when an Italian in America might meet another Italian and they had both been raised in Italy, they could feel a very much connection at being in each other's vicinity, just because it is so good to meet somebody from one's home country. Those are two more things to consider.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. And this is a question from Debbie Heiner. And she says, "How I'm going to answer it for a couple of words. And she says, how will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate in the fourth dimension? Well, first of all, just by asking that question and trying to give yourself a yes or no, you're totally programming yourself that way. And a better question would be, what do I have to do to graduate? I would believe that everyone listening to these calls is getting enough information that if they apply it, they will graduate this realm. And we still have a number of years. I will say that both Daphne and Terry, at different times, they were saying at one point that, and this could change too, it depends on how many people hold the energy here. But for quite some time, they were saying 2017 was a demarcation line. And that this work, the work we're doing, was going to create opportunities for people where not opportunities, other opportunities may have closed down. Well, so you are on a trajectory. Everyone listening here is changing, growing, and you may not be in the place where you could graduate right at this moment, okay? And you may be next week or the week after. Now, the way they say it is ultimately it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because here we are now coming into this lifetime, all of us obviously in this lifetime, and we've gone through many lifetimes. And we've gone through a situation where we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and back and forth. And here we are. We don't remember how long it's been in this realm, even though for many of us it's been a very long time, because I think we lose track of time in between lifetimes. So we go into a different timeline. So if you don't graduate, you'll just be around until the next chance comes around. And I would say the more you worry about it, the more you're putting obstacles against you. For every person, the qualities are going to be different. But let me pose the question, because I think that question is probably on many people's minds. How will we know? I'll just pose it the way they wrote it. How will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate the fourth dimension? To the fourth dimension.
Thank you. This is a question of anticipating the future, and we would like to point out that everything occurs in the now. Everything is created and recreated and recreated in the now, although it may not seem like that because it seems like time is continuous. All of the experience, everything that happens is created and recreated and recreated in the now. So when one asks a question about something in the future, then they need to take a look at how things seem to be headed. And things can be changed. One can have a sense, and it brings up several aspects of this. One can have a sense that something is going to happen, and it can be very, very strong, like a certainty. This is going to happen, and they know it, and it's a premonition. And generally, they're right, and when they get it, it happens. But we would like to point out one experience which, in Harry's past, she had, which is an example of how the future can be changed. And that was, she was running a boarding house for people that were not making very much money. And in the boarding house, there were people petitioned off to have living spaces for them in the basement. So as Terry went through her day, planting the garden and cleaning the house and buying food for people, she began to get a sense of a fire occurring in the basement. And she went through a lot of agony about it. It's like, how could she be thinking things like that, of this fire in the basement? And it just, she could just see the flames, and she could see that not everybody down there would make it out. And she just fought the pictures. Well, finally, she went downstairs to the basement, and she looked around, and someone, an artist, was living down there, and the artist had stacked turpentine 3 gallons deep in a semicircle around the furnace. And Portland, Oregon is kind of a cold climate, so the furnace goes on in the winter. And turpentine is very flammable. So Terry moved all the turpentine away from the furnace, and all of the pictures totally went away. There was no more pictures of fire. And Terry spoke to the artist and said, never, ever, ever put turpentine near the furnace. And the pictures just went away and never came back. So when there is a future event, there is a timeline wherein the factors involved in an event begin to take form, begin to manifest in the creation of that area. And one can begin to see that outcome. For instance, when another event was before the tsunami in the Indian Ocean and the South Pacific, many people had dreams or premonitions that something was going to happen. As the conditions began to take hold, began to come more into formation, where the tsunami, where the earthquakes would happen and the tsunami would be, then it bled into the future, into the consciousness of people as a future event. So premonition is one thing that if a person sees, has premonition, there is a way that they can see if it's something that they can have control of, or and they can do something about it if it's local, or if they don't have control over it, if it gets very vivid and very strong in their consciousness, they could leave the area, go to high ground. For instance, some of the animals in the South Pacific before the tsunami could feel it coming in, sense it coming in, went to high ground. So there is a sense of something coming about. So when you apply it to your own self, you can begin to have a sense of what your future may be, what you are working toward. And if it is something more intangible, you can put the picture within your space of how you want the outcome to be, even though the outcome may be very different than what is the trajectory that things are moving on. For instance, if things seem economically like they're going downhill, then you can project for your own self local conditions that will allow you to have the vision that you will escape that downward movement in the economy. So when you look at your future and whether you will graduate the realm, then right in present time, you have a lot of things to work on. Take a look at your own self. Are you going to be within your own matrix, in your own consciousness, able to hold the energy of love without being jealous and without being egotistical and without demanding everything go your way? And take a look at how you, your own self, can begin to work with yourself to see your patterns and how you can begin to move into a more fulfilling space. And we say that more fulfilling space is not to put like a rule or anything like that where you attempt to stifle your own self, because true love and true give and take is very spontaneous and very fast. And so we see taking a look at yourself and seeing if you have blocks and working on how you can get through those blocks, not how you can stuff unwanted emotions away, or how you can force yourself to act loving, because true love is spontaneous, and it works with all the chakra systems, with the chakra systems working in a clockwise direction. with your cells working in a clockwise direction. And that is one of the reasons that nutrition is so important and your basis for how you your body supports you is very important. Because when you eat, for instance, genetically modified foods, they tend to encourage your cells to move in a counterclockwise direction, and then your body does not support you as you would best fulfill yourself to have it support you. Those are some of her comments.
We are almost out of time. I'll read a question that I'm just going to point out is not the kind of question that's good. It's from Crystal. Will my financial condition expand in order to start a new product line in my business? And if you look at it where she's asking it, she's giving up her power. I'm using you as an example. Forgive me. No one knows who you are. It's like you are the creator. It doesn't happen outside of you. If you remember the image of the bicycle and how the Elohim compared themselves to a bicycle where you pedal and then it goes to a gear shift and it goes to the real rear wheel, if you start pedaling and you pedal in the right way, you'll get a lot of extra energy. You'll have more synchronicities. But you have to learn to pedal. It doesn't just happen like by magic. And then when it does happen, it says, geez, that was magic. So it does happen by magic, but you have to pedal. I'm learning how to pedal. Let's see, it's 6:53. We got about 3 minutes. I'm sorry, we have so many good questions tonight. Please ask them again next week. We have a question here from, Melina. And it's a good question. I think, why, can you help me remember why I chose to be born to a mother who blames me for her deafness? And she doesn't explain why her mother blames her. But maybe we could ask the more general question. Many of us chose to be born, assuming we chose to be born, and picked our parents. And yet we had parents that created great difficulties for us. Could you share why we made those choices?
Thank you. Sometimes, as in your case, you are working out a past life situation with your mother. Your mother, in this life, gave up a lot to bear you, and nutrition went to you and was it was hard on her body, and to go through some of the things that your mother went through was very hard upon her, and putting money toward you raising you and sacrificing some of the things that she did to give you life, to give you existence and to support you was hard. We suggest that you, in looking at your mother, remember back in seeing what she said about that, writing down anything you can remember of what she said about that, and seeing if anything that she had told you about that makes sense to her position, that you had something to do with her deafness. Now, if something that she said does not totally make sense, then write it down anyway and see if you can develop a pattern about it. Something also that she is not looking at, that she is blaming you, but it is a wrong target because you were not responsible for that. And she had you within her own free will. This view that your mother has, and maybe it will shift as we are looking at it or as you look at it, and let your mother have it and see if you can get beyond it in your own view, in reviewing things that you remember that she said and ways that she was around the house. Complaining was that she made about other people. Do you also see that it was not only you that she blames for certain things, but she blames others around her too? And she has felt to some degree like she has what she is given has created a problem for her own body. And see if you can, within your own mind, find out more information from your memory and seek to put the pattern that your mother has together and forgive her for that. One of the things in this lifetime is to learn forgiveness and how to be centered within yourself without having to take on something that someone else has blamed you for, but to hold your own center in your own position and then to give them separately their own position and treat it like a fact of life, not something you like, but a fact of life, and see how you can work with it in your own consciousness to let it go. Once you let it go, it will make it easier for her to let it go, although we see there is an aspect of your mother that holds on to certain things to anchor her own self in making another wrong and herself right.
We're going to have to close off. We're at the end of the hour. Now that we're on BBS and on the radio, we have to keep our calls confined. So I thank everybody for being here. I thank everybody on the lines. I thank everyone on the replay lines. And these replays are available of all of our calls on the Internet. And I do send out the spiritchannel.net as one of the places. So we'll see you all later. And thank
you. All right. We're back live. Thank you all, folks, for being here, for joining this. I think it was some nice to listen to this again. Very valuable information. Let me open up the lines.
All callers are unmuted.
Love to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, BBS. Thank you for being here.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Got a little echo there, but it's cool. Nice job.
Yeah, good job.
Goodbye.